I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sports ad free. That's amazon.com/sports ad free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Welcome to Rugby Passes, Aotearoa Rugby Pod in the week that the All Blacks locked down the Bledisloe Cup. I'm Ross Carl. Going to get into some action from the weekend along with Bryn Hall and James Parsons. Boys, All Blacks that good? Start with you, Chipper. Or Wallabies that bad?
Nah, All Blacks that good. The execution in that first 40 in terms of their game management and their attack plan, we spoke about the key for the Wallabies to, you know, have that balance of attack right. They didn't get anywhere near it. They didn't stick to what they said they were going to do. You know, one of their big things was about their kick strategy was going to be contestable or long, or they put it mid-range again. And Dunguno, I think that'll be a press conference he'll want to forget because he certainly hit him, but he hit him early. But the All Blacks were class. Like, Richie was class. Bodie was class. The forward pack was exceptional in the work they did up front to provide the platform. Another big performance from Anton Leonard-Brown at 13. Yeah, and the bench provided the impact. I just think the All Blacks were a class above this week.
For you?
Yeah, it was. Look, I think the game was unfortunately gone that first 30 minutes. You talk around skill execution, getting the game plan right. They scored all their points in that kind of period of play. So it got a little bit in the second half. We probably lost our way a little bit with the weather conditions. But again, it was a 5-minute period of two tries. Back just like that.
On that second half, though, like, I was thinking that as well. And then I'm like, did you feel like the Aussie defence didn't quite, so like our kicking game,
yep,
sort of, I felt, slowed their line speed in the first half and let us just dictate,
yep,
you know, with attacking kicks and crossfield kicks, and then and then they're sitting there waiting for that, then we ran and Richie did his thing.
Yep.
And then in the second half, it felt like, okay, they obviously got a message, bring some line speed, so they did, they hissed. But we went away from our kicking game,
yep,
in the second half. Do we think, because of the lead, we were like, oh, we can score?
Yeah.
We can chance our arm a little bit more. That's all I was thinking, is it looked like the test went wayward, but they'd probably done the damage in the first half, yeah, to allow them to try some things.
Yeah, I think that kind of maybe that pressure got taken off of them a little bit. And
yeah.
I think, as you know, you fall into that trap when you've got that big lead, those little tips or offloads, or you kind of chance your arm a little bit more when that happens. But again, yeah, I think that first 30 minutes, if you talk around execution and being ruthless, right, man, it was seriously impressive.
And it could have been worse.
It could have.
If Richie hadn't tripped up, he was going for a hat trick. Caleb was pretty close to getting in the corner.
Yep.
Colsey, mate.
I think the biggest thing, that sin bin, it was just massive. You think about that first try when Big Carl almost butchered it. He got his first test try, come on. But, you know, Dan Gurner's off. You know, and they go down that short side, and Nick White was there by himself. But again, having that winger not there, it led to that
first
try.
That's a smart play, isn't it?
It is.
Like, Aaron Smith looks up, he's like, well, he's in the bin. But they were short, because there were another three men. I think there was the skipper, Kane outside, then Whitelock, and then Caleb Clark.
Yeah.
And Big Carl goes, I'm going to go down the guts and score.
And I think the big thing around that, I don't think it was a pre-planned move.
No, it wasn't.
It was just seen, right, they saw the opportunity.
I reckon it was Nuggy, because he went to go, and then he stopped, and then and gave it back, and found the big fella who probably just needed to give it, but he'll take his first test try.
Hate to review if he didn't score that try.
Sliding in backwards, almost sliding in the wrong way.
I was pleading for it to be scored, because I just thought, mate, that is going to be brutal if you don't get over here.
And when he got up, you could see in the celebration, he was like, stuff that one up. It was probably a big sign, though, of the Aussie inexperience, right? Like, when you look at those kind of holes that open up, that comes from having not played at that level against guys who can heads up play like that.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. But it comes as a collective. Someone probably would have called it.
Yep.
You know, one of those boys back on the short side would have called it, which would have stopped them to do that. So, like, it's a team experience. You can't just say that the Wallaby, there was still a lot of experience out there, enough out there for the Wallabies to, you know, they've competed. We've been pumping them up on here for weeks.
Yep.
And I felt like Lolasio didn't play his natural game. He was quite deep in the pocket. He was constantly playing behind the advantage line, and it was an easy defence.
Yeah.
I just felt like it was easy for them to defend. The one time they went down the edge, and I think Lolasio was he had a run, and then they went down the edge with Simone, and it got to Dungunu. And all he needed to do is run in field. The damage was done. They were in behind it, and he gets taken out. And then they get on the edge again, literally about two plays later, and he throws that offload. Dungunu throws that offload, and it goes out. So they created some opportunities when they were flat and hard at the line, but I felt like Lolasio sat back a lot, and he wasn't the player that I saw, say, when he played the Chiefs at Hamilton, where he just was constantly at the line.
Do you think that's just the difference with the All Blacks defence system and just the amount of pressure?
I think it was the occasion.
Mm.
I don't know if it was. Yeah, you're probably right, because the Chiefs' defence does drift. Yep. They are drifty, and but I didn't think the All Blacks were hissing off the line either. You know, like they were. It was just I would have liked to have seen them a little bit flatter. And the one positive I think out of their game, they scored a try from a turnover.
Yeah.
And they didn't look to hold on for the penalty. They went hard, and Jordan Pitaia got through. And then the biggest thing was, as I spoke about those offloads in the first half, Jordan Pitaia took the ruck. And then Lolasio played flat and fast and scored the try, you know? And that to me is the blueprint of how they need to play. The All Blacks are still the masters of it. They got two tries off the back of turnovers.
Yep.
But you can see there are parts of the game that are developing for the Wallabies still, even in the back of a...
I think one thing that Dave Rennie would be pretty disappointed on, we talked around last time in the last test match, the execution. I know you like your stats, Chip.
Yeah.
So just going to go to my book here.
He's got his book.
But now look,
see if the stats line up, mate.
They had 21 turnovers, 14 unforced errors, and 10 penalties.
Yeah.
So look, if you're going to play against a top-tier nation, you're not going to get that, let alone the All Blacks.
Yeah.
And so we talked about in the last test match around them trying to build that composure and execution. Look, you're just not going to win test matches like that. You know, I know the weather was a little bit different in that second half, but there were just sometimes in that
both sides.
Yeah, there was just sometimes in that second half, just not even like 50-50s, like 80-20s.
But where did their kicking game go from Wellington in similar conditions? Like Nick White kicked twice in the first half, and they were pinpoint.
Do you think it's because they were down really early on in that 30 minutes? They tried to chance around a little bit more?
Well, I think they came in with a plan to kick off Lolasio, and he just was kicking too far. Mm. I just was surprised. I know Dungunu hit Clark in the air, but that was spot on, that box kick.
Yep.
And then he did another one, and I think it almost led to a try as a Nick White. And he's so good at it.
Yeah.
That is where a lot of the errors came from, is the contestable kicking.
Yep.
That was putting the Wallabies' skill set under pressure from the All Blacks. So just surprised me they didn't go to that and maybe take the pressure off the young fella a little bit early. But
Do you think with Tamua not being there as well? I know we talked around 12-13 and they're playing well, but you think about it, they've got six test caps between, you know, 12, 13, 14, and 10.
Yeah.
You know, that driving, that second pivot driving where they've done, you know, with Tamua, where they looked good in Auckland, or not Auckland, sorry, Wellington. I think they're just losing that direction maybe off them.
Yeah, I thought Simone was good. I liked how flat and how he did take the first receiver role a lot down that edge. I think it's just an onus on, they're either going to get O'Connor back in there and when Lolasio gets his chance again. He just needs to play his natural game. Let's not forget, like, every 10 that comes into international rugby, it takes a bit of time. Mm. He's still a young man, and that was a big occasion. And there was a lot of, you know, a lot to play for. But I still think he could have been helped out a little bit by his forwards, in the sense that, you know, sometimes I feel like the niggle, like I understand Dave really wants to bring Hiss at the breakdown and stuff, but I think what he's wanting to see is the accuracy with that.
Yeah.
And sometimes maybe the Aussie forwards are looking for the niggle too much, that's distracting them. And by that I mean, like, I'll give you a prime example is early in that first half is, I can't remember the player, but they were pushing and shoving at the ruck, but then no one was blocking and escorting for Lolasio to exit, and he's got about five black jerseys just pressurising, and he kicks it out, you know, 15 out. And I think that's just before Colsey went down the blind with Caleb, you know. So if he's getting all this pressure, and then, you know, you're trying to get the niggle, you've got to get that balance between accuracy and you know, bringing the heat and just waiting for your moment. Don't search for those niggle moments. It'll appear itself. There'll be a body lying there with a rib cage that you can clean out legally, you know, or things like that, rather than trying to, you know, fight or push or shove unnecessarily.
Yeah, I think the last two test matches as well, we talked about that first test match, Rennie was massive around physicality in the collision area.
And they delivered because they kept it simple.
Correct.
I think this time they were searching for it.
Yeah.
Searching for bodies or searching for niggle rather than going carry hard, clean hard. Yep. And when I get an opportunity to hurt, I'll hurt. Yep. But if it's not there, it's not there. Ball up, play.
Is that an easy thing to do? Like to have multiple things in your head like that? You know, you come in, you say, okay, we didn't bring enough aggression last time. We were, you know, out hungered. We come in now with lots of hunger, but without precision. Like how easy is it for an inexperienced, some inexperienced players and a team that's relatively new together to get that kind of right?
It's tough. Like I can even think of it for myself. Like when you've had a week, when you go into your review and they're like, oh, you know, you brought the right intent, but you weren't accurate enough. So then you focus all on your accuracy and you were accurate, but we want you to hurt. So the next, your first clean out of the next week's game is you just flying, trying to kill someone and you give a penalty away. Like it's happened to me, it's happened to, you know, experienced, inexperienced guys. It's just the mental game, isn't it? And that's what international rugby, the teams that are an edge above, it's all done mentally in the preparation during the week to keep calm so that when your moment presents, you take it, but you don't go searching for things. When you're searching for things in a game of rugby, I don't know how you feel, it almost goes from bad to worse.
It does, You want those, that just like decisiveness, you know, being real clear. And so when you get your prep rolled around there, like you're talking around Joe, it's so much easier. When you're a little bit indecisive, you're thinking, what if, and not, because it all is, it's a split decision, just like that. So when you're not getting that right, then those kind of things happen when they're not accurate.
Dungunu's the prime example. Like he was like, I'm going to hit him. I'm going to get him.
That's
all emotion. And the emotion got the better of him. You know, like he runs out, he throws that offload. And, you know, like, so the whole week, that was Thursday. You know, when that press conference, the test match is Saturday, you think how much he's fizzing and he's like, he's my man. And that was obviously clearly all he was thinking. And then, you know, he tackled him in the air. And that's the and the difference between inexperience and experience, or maybe just, you know, calming things down in an environment where personality traits as well. Like Caleb's inexperienced, but he's very calm and measured. And, you know, that's a lot to do with his upbringing. But that emotional side can never overpower your thought to nail your job. And I think the emotions got the better at times.
I think that's where the All Blacks, again, young guys coming through, they're really well prepared when they come into the test match. You know, and you come through, we talk about inexperience. There's a lot of experienced guys in the All Blacks, even guys like Caleb or the new guys that come in like Tupou Vai. You know, their experience plays around them. So they only need to worry about their own job and their preparation is massive through the week. So I think maybe going forward for the Australians, but the preparation side, and yes, it's all and well having the emotion. You've just got to have that balance when it comes to preparation as well and getting that right, not just emotion.
Can you fix that in a week?
You're going to have to.
I think they'll be even better over time. Like we've got to remember that this is the start of something special, I believe. I still believe that. Like I've been vocal with that. I think, you know, Rennie will he's great with young talent and creating it, but it does take time. And to be fair, like, with Super Rugby, you get a whole pre-season and you get, you know, pre-season games and same when he went to Glasgow, you know, it's right in the pressure cooker here at the back of COVID. And I'm not making excuses, it's the same for both teams, but that's the beauty of the leadership group and the consistency of the coaching group, which we can probably go back to now as one of the reasons, you know, Fozzie was selected and now it's paying dividends, isn't it? And that's, that consistency's allowing young guys to come in and just perform and worry about themselves, whereas this is a total new group. You know, new structures, new leaders. So I think they'll still get better over time. Maybe we didn't expect it to be the gap this big, but I think when you make the All Black beast angry, you can see how ruthless they are. And straight away, even the press conference so far this week, they're on the job, ready to go again. So it sets it up for another doozy this week.
Sydney, from what I can tell, is a place where the Wallabies should never play the All Blacks. The last four times they've been there, lost by an average of 29 points.
And like, they've all been hot starts.
Hot starts. They should do what the Africans do. And, you know, if it's a big game, take them to the high belt. You know, take them to Perth. Take them to a place where
they're not. Take them to Adelaide, maybe.
Take them somewhere else. Somewhere that is not Sydney, because it's quite obvious that the All Blacks handle Sydney a lot
better
than the
Wallabies. Don't send this podcast to Adelaide.
Sorry, Adelaide. Sorry.
It's great wine country, mate.
I love
great
Adelaide.
Great wine country.
I haven't played many test matches because the All Blacks there.
Yeah, fly us there. We'll do a podcast. Great.
Is that a slight jab at the pink test for the Black Caps there? No, sorry.
Yeah, but, you know, it just seems to me like if you're going to be talking about certain factors in a game, the Wallabies need to be clever all across the board. And if you want to beat the All Blacks, don't go to a place where they're comfortable. Go somewhere else. Take them to a new hotel. take them to, you know, don't take them to Double Bay where there are Lamborghinis and great coffees floating around, you know. Take them to a place to stay in a military barracks in Adelaide or something, you know.
I don't think they have that much control, quietly.
But you know what I mean, like, it seems that they're also feeding the beast by kind of taking them to places that suit the All Blacks. Yeah. From here on in, they shouldn't take them to Sydney. Especially if there's only going to be 26,000 people.
Yeah, like, well, that's not even, surprising, because there was 40,000 available.
Yeah, and they haven't sold out in Sydney since 2016.
Where do you think they should go? What do you read? Where would you want to go?
I would take them to a place that the All Blacks have never been before, or to a place where they lost last time. So Perth is the obvious. You know, just go somewhere else where they're not comfortable. We don't have that problem at home because we win everywhere.
Mate, you said I was going to join Rennie's staff last week. I reckon you might be joining as a manager. Mate, you're on to something.
Bring the red books.
We'll go touring.
It'll be great. We'll go to some Adelaide wine country on the way.
I want to go to Perth. Yeah. Take us to Perth, please.
Anywhere we can go. Yeah, so what else do we need out of the Wallabies then? Do we need Pete Samu?
Well, look, I think at least having him on the bench, Chip, surely.
Look, I had this question last week on another thing, and look, he has to be in the team for me, but I can see why they've got McWright there, because if Hooper goes down, who plays seven? Mm. In the current loose forward makeup, there's no seven reserve. And you can't, I know Hooper's an 80-minute man, but if he goes down early, could Samu cover seven? Yeah, to push. Against Sam Kane, probably not for 70 minutes. So that's probably, I think he's a great impact player, and there's got to be a spot. They've got to somehow find a spot for him. But with Hennigan, Wilson and Hooper, you have to go with a seven on your bench.
Do you just carry another forward and have at least one less back on the bench?
Potentially, but you know, you saw on the weekend they get used. It's a physical a physical game. So it's the only other thing is finding a Lucy that can maybe slip into the locks. You know, maybe Hennigan can slip into the locks, so then you can carry two Lucys on the bench, a Samu and a McWright. It's just balance. 23 balance is hard. So unless he starts, or unless they find a Lucy that can go into lock, it's hard to get him into that 23 to make sense for the management of the game.
July test matches, would that have made a difference to how the Wallabies are now? Do you think 3 weeks together against some more minor nations would have made a difference to how they'd be right now?
Any test before playing the All Blacks would make a difference, and not so much minor, just any test. Time together, Dave Rennie was over with Glasgow, you know, sort of touching base from afar, COVID, Zoom meetings, you know, like, it's just a different beast. So it's not the easiest transition for the Wallabies, and that's why they have to stick at it. And I have to, you know, admire Rod Kay for coming out and support. And you know, after a drumming like that, he stood stern on us and just said, keep the young guys, you know, take France's platform and build towards 2023. But there's going to be some hurt if you do take I don't think age is such a factor for Dave Rennie. I think he understands that you need, you know, all parts of experience, and he'll get that mix right as he learns more about the people he's around and the players themselves.
Biggest thing around that, I'd just love for them just to keep sticking at it. I think it's a process around that. And again, like, I think they're going to go through a bit of tough times. But again, you know, as with any young team and any young players, you just want that, you know, positive reinforcement consistently, and you're gonna get your teething problems. But again, if they can just keep sticking it, you know, a long-term goal as well, 2023, you know. And obviously they want to win the Bledisloe Cup, you know, but again, there's just a little process before that when, you know, they're going to start being a little bit more competitive around that.
But with no Northern Tour, I mean, we're waiting again possibly till the Tri Nations, and they start again with four test matches possibly next year, you know. It's not easy with the amount of, you know, who knows what is going to go on next year with this.
Like, I think the biggest lesson they can take out of it is maybe after that 16-all draw, not probably getting carried away. And you know, even in the media, they're talking about, you know, going to Eden Park, Eden Park's nothing, you know, things like that. Like, I think, you know, rather than trying to, I feel like, and correct me if I'm wrong, but when players start talking about that doesn't mean anything, or, you know, that's nothing, or we're not thinking about that, well, you're talking about it right now, so you're clearly thinking about it, and it's clearly been mentioned. So there's no point hiding away from it, you know, accept it as a challenge and say, can't wait for this challenge, you know, yes it is, they've had such great success here. That sort of mindset, rather than trying to be like, oh, you know, like putting it to the side, it's like, well, if you put it to the side, you're never going to give you a chance. You know, it's not going anywhere.
Yeah.
You know, Tom Coventry is the best for us forwards. You know, if we don't get a rolling mall stopped and they go over the try, he goes, there's no point in having your head out there. It's not going anywhere. So you're better off getting it in the dark place and at least stopping it. You know, so
yeah.
They'll just keep coming. And if they sense weakness, like you know, the All Blacks have the last two tests, they will keep coming.
Right. So it's a 3-1. We're looking at a 3-1 almost definitely.
But we've picked the All Blacks every week.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. I just don't see them losing for the rest of this Tri-Nation series, me personally.
I predicted a 4-0 anyway at the start.
Yeah.
So I don't think they're any worse off than what was expected if you think about it. But because of the 16-all draw, it changed the landscape and the expectation and the pressure changed.
Yep.
So I don't think, I think 3-0 out of a 4, like there's still progress there, but like I said, like maybe they can learn a lot from it and how they manage the pressure of backing up after a successful performance.
So what do the All Blacks do now? You know, you've got three test matches. I suppose they still don't have the Tri Nations trophy, so they still have to put some emphasis on beating Australia more this week than maybe throwing in a Will Jordan or someone new. But really, for the rest of this tournament, it's about trialing these guys, isn't it? Yeah. It's got to be.
Yeah, half and half.
Yeah, I think it's just, it's going to be exactly the same. You know, expectation in New Zealand is for us to win every single test match. And so you talk around what Jip was saying before, they're already on to the next job. They're already talking about the next test match and getting all the learnings and, you know, the learnings that they had the last test match. So it'll just be, again, the exact same thing. They'll keep preparing well, having the mindset and all that kind of stuff. But then they might just blood in new players right then and there, which, you know, they've done in the first couple of test matches. Probably, you know, would they select a few different ones in the next test match, but then probably definitely in Argentina, when they play Argentina, you might see a few changes there. But again, they've got themselves in a really good spot here. You know, you talk about that 16-all draw, and traditionally the first test match we kind of iron out a few things, but again, now we're just rolling now, and I reckon they'll keep getting better.
For me, the All Blacks have got so much competition for spots, and I think no one else epitomises that and what it means to be in a starting jersey than Sam Whitelock on the weekend.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Paddy went well, Tupuvai went well, Scott Barrett's coming back. He's come back from concussion. He didn't have his best outing, you know, in Wellington. You know, this is a guy who's had 13 carries, 27 metres, 6 tackles, no misses, 1 turnover, 1 line-out steal. To me, that was back to his world-class best, and that was due to the success of other players playing well. And this is the beauty of the All Blacks is no one wants to give a guy a go.
Mm.
No one wants to say, oh, give him a crack, give him some experience. They all want the 1-23 jersey. They all want the minutes. And that's what creates them to a level above.
Yeah.
And having a conversation to say, oh, I don't know, let's pick a, who do you want to see? Will Jordan.
Yeah.
Geordie, we're going to move you to fullback. You know, Bodie, you can go to 10. Richie, you have a rest this week, or you're going to drop back to the bench after the game of his life.
Yeah.
You know, like, where do you go? Like, you can't, those conversations are so hard to have, but the beauty of the competition that's in the squad makes them a level above. Whereas the Wallabies, I think they need to change the way their attack strategy or nailing their attack strategy. And bear with me here, Ross, more stats. But
more stats.
It's that balance of attack. We spoke about the balance of attack. So I'll use the All Blacks first. So 16 minutes, 43 with possession, 29 kicks.
Mm.
Okay. Aussie, 12 minutes, 27. So not much difference of possession, 16 kicks. Do you know what I mean? And most of those kicks were inaccurate. So their balance between running and kicking in terms of their attack, and kicking's not just long, it's your attacking hits, your cross-field kicks, you know, bringing guys into the game, and using, they only had 3 minutes more, just over 3 minutes more, the All Blacks, and look at the damage they did with the boot.
Mm. Yep.
You know, most of it was off the boot, and seeing that rush defence and slowing it down and manipulating, and that, because the defence was fine. You know, we spoke about the Wallabies missing all those tackles, they tackled it, they take it 122, 70 miss at 88%. You know, so the defence is fine. They brought the line speed. So that was then, and you know, the turnovers are part of that balance of attack. Sometimes overplaying your hand will lead to knock-ons and trying to play out of your half. So biggest focus for the Wallabies is that balance of attack and trusting the defence system going forward. And I think once they can see some benefit out of that and they've executed a number of times, then we'll be back on for, you know, draws and tighter contests.
I think for the positive for the All Blacks, I just love their style of play. that they're playing right now. Like, you think about the attacking kicks off Richie, Aaron, Bodie as well for that one for Richie.
Turnover.
If you're looking around the improvements they had from the World Cup, you know, we went away from that kick game around contestables around 9. You know, we kicked probably a lot longer. We probably didn't get a lot of pay around our kicking, but at the moment, like, it's very, you know, Brad Moore's probably having a massive influence around that. You look around their set piece, they're kicking off drives, you know, they're kicking off. It's pretty very similar.
I reckon he's the reason Mwanga's playing the best All Black rugby.
The reason why Richie had one of his best games is because, again, it's very similar to what he's used to.
It's a structure
He's been playing that structure for the last 3 to 4 years, and he just looks so much more confident around that.
When he scored that try off the mall, that was instinctive, because they were going the other way, and he drifts around and he shows and goes. Then they go to the TV camera. Mm-hmm. Fozzie looks down at Brad Moore, and Brad Moore's smiling.
Yeah, that was like a Crusaders movie. Yeah. We had a Crusaders movie.
Brad Moore's always smiling.
You watch Richie on Instagram and all that, he's always kicking, and they seem to have a hell of a relationship.
They do.
Doing each other's washing and all sorts of things. Yeah. Like, to me, that is bringing the best out of him, but it's also bringing the best out of Bodie Barrett. Like, I think he was exceptional on the weekend, mm. You know, the deft kick, stepping up to first receiver. He's been really selfless for me.
Yeah.
Yep.
At the moment.
You're right.
I think his contribution to this All Blacks success is a lot more impressive than people will probably give him credit for.
Yeah, because he probably used to have seen, obviously, you know, that attacking flair and attacking style, but those little things that nobody else sees, only us rugby players, we understand it. The little 1% is that nobody says it's the communication skills for a kick to Richie.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Those kind of things like that, and just being able to work in little touches, deft touches to putting guys in good positions, it just makes the flow of the team so much better, and you don't...
His defensive communication as well, like the All Blacks are defending exceptionally well.
Yeah.
And you know, like I don't know, like it, I agree, you know, it was Richie's week, but there's a lot that Bodie's doing selflessly for this team and for Richie to be successful.
I think Jack and Anton having a massive play in that as well.
Yep.
I think you know, their combination as well. And I thought, you know, even when Rico came on as well and bringing, you know, I loved seeing him in those kind of minutes, him coming on and just bringing in that speed and that flair that he has. But I think what the dirty work that Jack and Anton are doing is making Richie and Bodie play really well as well. So again, just a continuation of seeing those guys together. You know, we talked around earlier at the World Cup last year, it was around the other way.
Yeah.
But I think Jack's really finding a home at 12. You know, even his kicking game, he kicked a long kick into the corner and we got a steal off that and then we score off that. Mm. You know, so those kind of little deft touches that Crotts used to do for the All Blacks with the kicking game and the game management, I think we're seeing a lot better with that with Jack, and we'll just continue to keep you better with that.
Yeah.
It's all good news. So with that being said, let's go to the Halspan Elite Performance of the Week. Halspan Elite, they've been the name on the side of the All Blacks nutrition for 5 years, batch tested, everything is safe. The All Blacks swear by it for getting through the week. What do you guys say? Richie Mwanga for you, obviously.
Oh, do you want to go first?
Who no, you go first, mate.
No, you go.
No, because we need, mine will take 2 seconds. Here, have your moment.
Now, look, I've pretty much just talked about it. I think, you know,
Richie. Here you go, here's his stats.
Yeah, talk me through
there. We're up there. No. 23 points, can 2 tries, 7 can't. Carries, 121 metres, 4 clean breaks, 5 defenders metres, 1 try assist, 2 tackles, 1 miss, 1 turnover.
Don't need to say anything more?
No.
Don't need to say anything more?
Yeah.
Now, just finally on that, I think we're going to see a progression of Richie just going up like that. Because I think he's just feeling a lot more confident with the shape that we've talked about. And again, he's just going to have time in the saddle.
Looks like his team, doesn't it?
It does. And when we've talked around, I think last year, we in that World Cup with 10, that 10 and 15 role, we didn't really know whose team it was. But I think with the way that Richie's playing around that shape, which he's used to, which we've talked about, I think he's just going to go strength and strength. So I'm looking forward to seeing for the rest of them in the Tri Nations.
Mm. Where are you going?
Well, I'll be different because it is Richie. Like, Richie was the performance of the week, but I just have to put something out there different. I have to acknowledge 3 men up front. They're not going to be it. But Coles, exceptional. He brings some flair, he brings something different. Frizzell, who's just gone quietly about his business, 10 tackles, 10 carries. And I spoke about Sammy Whitelock before. I just think those 3 men really just rolled their sleeves up and led the way and provided a platform for Richie to be successful.
Yep.
But I'm going to steal it off TJ Perenara for the performance of the week was Geordie Barrett knocking that ball out when the game was dead.
Doesn't that just epitomise where the All Blacks are, mate?
Well, and just epitomise how much he values his jersey and that he's on the job and he competes. We spoke about TJ a couple of weeks ago, the Eden Park test, about I could hear him just screaming straight, you know, like they'd won the game and he was demanding, and no wonder he picked that up because that's what gets him going.
Yeah.
So Geordie Barrett for me, I know he got yellow carded, but that moment in itself epitomises the All Black, but epitomises Geordie Barrett as well.
You touched on Shannon Frizzell. Now, he's a guy who's known for big runs and those kind of things, but it's a different Shannon Frizzell we're seeing this season, isn't it?
Oh, it's a tough Shannon Frizzell. He like I don't want to make comparisons to Jerome, but he's heading in that direction, isn't he? You know, he does the tough carries, he does the big hits, albeit he got one wrong, you know, at Jordan Petaia's expense, but he's getting through a lot of work.
Yep.
And a lot of unseen work.
Yep.
A lot of those forwards are actually, but that's your job. Is if they're talking about the nines, the tens, the 15s, and the wingers, you've done your job because you're providing a platform for them to shine.
Yeah, with Hoskins in there, and Artie to return at some point, it leaves them in a bit of a pickle, doesn't it?
Well, Hoskins' line-out ability is something else. Like, they went to him a lot.
That try as well. Yeah. We talked about it last week around that, having the quick hook and go. Like it's a bloody good weapon to have. And line-out as well, he's been.
That's the best New Zealand lineout's been for a number of years. It's 90 plus, and having him as an option, Sam Whitelock there, you know, Paddy, Scott Barrett when he came on, it's height, it's explosive power. You know, Artie's got explosive power in abundance, but he doesn't quite have Hoskins' height. But it's hard to leave Artie out as well because he offers something that Hoskins doesn't as well.
Yeah, Hoskins has shown he can come off the bench as well. Around the impact as well, which, you know, probably we talk around Pete Sama, he could have that role in the Australian team. But again, so yeah, we're blessed in that department.
In a similar way with Richie Mo'unga, are we seeing a slightly different Richie Mo'unga this year, do you think? Is this the same Richie Mo'unga?
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
For the All Blacks?
For the All Blacks.
Oh, I think he's just confident. I think he's just confident.
Super rugby, Richie.
Yeah, he does. And I think, you know, like, we talk around Lolasie around, you know, time and experience. You know, he's had a bit of time now, Rich, you know. And I think finally, they obviously talked around at the World Cup and that first test match around a specific game plan that they had. But I think they've got a pretty good understanding now that this is the shape that they're running. And Richie just looks so confident around that. We've said it before, he's done this for 3 or 4 years, and the influence of Brad Moore coming into that environment as well and being able to see him play. Like I said to you, I think he's just going to go from strength to strength, and you're going to see more of the Super Rugby form where he's overtaking the game based around the setup around that.
He seems to have so much time.
Yep.
It's like watching a really great batsman, you know, and the ball's coming on, it's 150 clicks, and it's like it's out there forever, and then they strike it through the covers. You know, that's what it feels like with Richie Mo'unga. He's seeing the D and he's in the matrix, you know, and he's just got all this time to get through.
But with that, though, it's the unseen work with the other players around him. So, you know, it's the communication from Jack and Anton. It's the, with Bodie being in and around that second pivot, giving the communication. So when Richie's playing really, really well, all things are fine with the Nuggie and all that back unit around that, and having a good understanding, given the specific comms for him to see what he's seeing. So if that'll keep continuing, and then, you know, like I said, it's just going to keep getting better and better.
Just on that, I spoke about it before, could we see Bodie at 10 this week and Rico right wing, Geordie back to fullback, because Geordie looked good at fullback, and Caleb on the left?
Surely they stick with the same team that went well this week, just to give them a little bit of a pat on the bum, do they? And then they go, okay, Argentina, no disrespect, but we're going to mix it up.
Yeah, I'd like to see Bodie in the 10 this week, personally.
Yeah.
I bet you do, mate.
I have been crowed about it for a long time. But I just want him to have a go. Like, I feel like we forget he's the world's best player 2 years in a row at 10. But anyway, let it go, Jane.
Yeah, we need that camera, make a plea to Fozzie.
No. Bodie will do that with his actions, mate.
Yes. So I think we're pretty happy, aren't we? Like, we're pretty happy with how this All Blacks team's coming along, considering everything they've had to go through and figuring out, you know, an international year with COVID.
I think it was ruthless, man. The public would be happy, but inside that camp, it'll just be wanting, again, how do we get better? What are the learnings we can take from the test match? And, you know, with them, expectation, it's always big for them.
Well, you heard the skip. We're creating something special here. then Fozzie back tonight. So yeah, we're creating something special here in the aftermatch press conference. So they really believe they're on to something, going to another level and working towards that 2023, which will be the end goal.
Ian Foster taking it to the next level. That's a lot. That's one thing that a lot of people didn't want to see, you know, but he appears to be doing a pretty good job so far.
Outstanding. He's definitely getting the best out of his group, but I think they're clearly a happy team, which always to me says management are working really closely with the leaders, and there's a good, I suppose there'll be good robust discussion, and then when they leave that room they're all committed together, so there's no splinters and they're all going. And I know, look, the All Black jersey provides a lot of that on its own, but they look extremely happy. They look so supportive of each other. The guys that aren't playing, you know, Sevu Reese, he was just so happy for the All Blacks, for the team performance, his teammates. You know, to me that's when you know a team's humming, and the coach and the management and the leadership group have got something special brewing, and they've said it themselves.
Mm. Well, he was skipping around after the game, wasn't he? He looked
it's awesome to see, though, isn't it? Like, rather than someone being, I want to be out there, and he wants to be out there, but like to come off and just be in awe of the performance he's just seen, I don't know, it's a credit to him as a person, but it's a credit to that group.
Yeah, absolutely. Do you guys watch a bit of the Northern Hemisphere stuff on the weekend?
I did.
What did you make of the French? They look like they're creating something special.
Yeah, they're sharp, they're fast, they're all out of attack. Dupont, the nine, he's got great support lines. He's one thing I noticed with him, he makes great decisions of when to just go pass and then when to have a snipe. But he's always there. He's always there or thereabouts.
Influences the game.
Yeah. Then the other guy, Fiku, was the one that took my eye. He's 26, so he's a little bit older than, I think, Dupont's 20, and who's the first five?
Intermac,
yeah. So he's 21, I think, or the other way around. And he's one of those players, like we spoke about Rico and players that can turn a game on its head.
Yeah.
Well, Fiku is that player. Like, he chases kicks hard. So he does the hard work, but he's also got the finesse and the confidence and the skill set, but like that flair or something you can't put words to, you know, but you just watch it and you're like, holy heck, he's got a hell of a game going.
They're
going
to be scary come 2023. Yeah. If you think about the under-20s program that they've had as well, they've been successful, and so, you know, if you think around those players coming through, we talk about the young guys.
Well, these are the guys, isn't it?
Exactly, you know, so we talk about us building something special. I think, you know, the French are going to be very dangerous. And if you think about probably the last 4 or 5 years, we probably haven't had that conversation around the French. Mm. You talk around they look like a French team.
Yeah.
You know?
It's just finding that consistency.
Correct.
So, you know, Intermark is 21 against Sexton on the weekend, and, you know, he put on a clinic.
Mm. Yeah.
But he didn't just put on a clinic. His kick options, we talked about, you know, balance of attack before. Yep. His balance of attack was on point. You know, he was smart enough to drop back in the pocket and play territory when he saw wingers up after he'd done a chip kick and they'd led to a try. He found kick space through attacking kicks. He found space for others with his passing game. So for 21 years of age, you know, we're talking about Lolosio and the growth that he's going to have. Well, this guy's been in and around the system for a bit, and it's just showing how his game is going from strength to strength, because it was a good Ireland team. It was a helter-skelter game. The only thing that would be a concern for them probably is just the other side of the ball, is defence and making sure they stop points. They've got some big boys that are doing a lot of work up front. I think LaRue, who was one of the most dominant tacklers, I think he was second in dominant tackle stats. So big boys are doing a lot of work. It just needs to be probably backed up with some one-on-ones out wide.
Yeah. What about the English? I mean, they took the title. It was on a count back. Are the French in a position better than the English look going forward, do you think?
Oh, for me, England's defence is what's winning them titles. So it's not pretty, but their physicality in defence tires teams out.
Yep.
And they're just relentless when they don't have ball in hand. They'll get better ball in hand and as they make some changes in working. But I don't think the French are there yet. Purely, look, England won, but it's their defensive relentlessness. So I've got the top five defenders here. Itoje first. Second was LaRue from France. Third, Underhill from England. Third equal Tom Curry from England, and then James Ryan. So in the top five defenders are three English players. And that's what, you win titles based on defence. That's how they won the semi-final against the All Blacks, was through that brutal defence and that. And these boys throw themselves into breakdowns like you just wouldn't believe, and it just doesn't allow you attack. It stagnates your attack. It's no fast ball. It's all slow ball. So you've got to play, you know, you've got to play on the back foot, or you've got to find, you know, other avenues to attack. And that's why England are being so successful at the moment.
Do you think, Jip, with that, with their attacking, our new style, we obviously the style that Brad's brought in, that kind of style there would have been won us at the World Cup?
It wouldn't have mattered. We would have had to have matched the physicality at the breakdown. We lost that game at the breakdown and that dominance and defence. So I don't think that the style that they're running now would have drastically changed that, because it wasn't about us. It was actually about what England did. And that's where we've got to acknowledge, in that one test, England were just physically dominant, and you just can't play footy. It doesn't matter what attack plan you have. If you're on the back foot and you don't have fast ball, she's good night nurse. Yep.
Yeah. It's exciting. I think it's really exciting for
international. Would you say then England is the best team in the world right now?
To me, until South Africa plays again, they're the best team in the world.
South Africa?
Yep. They haven't played, but they deserve that. Yeah. That's the beauty of winning the World Cup. You deserve it. They've earned it. So until they play again, they can't be judged otherwise.
You're not one of those people who says they're the World Cup champions as opposed to the world champions, you know, because it can change year by year in rugby quite quickly.
Oh, it can. And look, I'm sure it will. Look, I still think, even though the All Blacks didn't win the World Cup, like, in terms of consistency, they are the best team in the world. But Springboks won it, and they won it on the day. England came second. So those two teams have to be in the discussion for being the best out there, and I don't think the All Blacks need the pressure of are they the best, are they not. They're just going about their business, and they're not craving that just yet. They're going towards, as they're themselves have said, they're going towards something special.
It actually doesn't change anything, because we expect them to win every single game, come what may.
So
whether you've got that top ranking or not, that's kind of completely by the by.
There's enough competition within the group, you know, we've talked about it, you know, the internal drive for the players to be able to play, to be in their 1-23. That's going to drive you no matter what. Again, those kind of accolades, all those competitions will come at a later date. But again, when you've got that competition in that team, that'll drive you.
What do you think they'd take? Second in the world rankings for the next 3 years, but they win the World Cup?
Yeah, 100%.
Exactly. So the world rankings don't really matter. Everyone wants the World Cup.
And we saw that during the last cycle, when I think the Welsh were world number one for a couple of days, and it was like, well, that's obviously a joke,
And they're really struggling at the moment, aren't they?
Yeah, they are.
And you talk about defence, the Scottish defence was exceptional. Like, they are working hard for each other as a group. They're creating something. They'll need to, probably the opposite of France, is learn to score more points. But defensively, they were really strong.
When it goes into that bigger competition at the start of the year, the Nations Cup, when you had Georgia and all those teams, it's going to be a really interesting competition to see how that flushes out, because they've had a warm-up time. They've got to play each other, and then not long afterwards they get to do it again. It's perfect.
Backing it up, and the one thing, you know, like Owen Farrell's already come out and said he wants to win it. We're talking about the French. And their consistency is what they need to grow, and the critical nature of that. But don't think Ireland or Scotland or Wales are under pressure. But, you know, knowing Wayne Pivac, he'll be bringing out his best for that tournament.
Now, there's a really important game this weekend that isn't international rugby. It's possibly the most important game this week. It's when Counties beats North Harbour this weekend.
Well, we'll put a bit on it, We'll put a bit on it.
I'm not sure if you watched the game on the weekend. It was the most painful 6 or 7 minutes of overtime I've ever been through. Got the W.
Got the dub.
But, it was like watching the women's final on the weekend. You know, and
you're waiting
for Canterbury to come.
It wasn't good, I wanted Waikato to win. Our mate James Semple's coach,
he would have been gutted.
Oh, I felt for him.
Did you talk to him?
Yeah, I did. I sent him a message. He was gutted. He said it'll make them better going forward. But they're devastated. And there were a few decisions that I'll agree with that were a bit dusty towards the end. But fair credit to Canterbury, four in a row.
They kind of deserved it. They fluffed two tries. Plus,
they fluffed about four tries in the first half.
Waikato threw away every piece of line-out ball they had for the first half.
They had their opportunity. Both sides had their opportunities, but I'm biased. Like, I wanted Semps to win. And Chelsea Alley, so.
I just didn't want Canterbury to win. That was pretty much the short of it.
But so what are we putting on?
If we win, Ross?
If North Harbour beats
North Harbour beats Counties, yeah. You have to wear a Harbour jersey. If we lose, I have to wear Counties jersey.
You have to wear, and him?
Okay. If we win, you have to wear my headgear. Harbour headgear.
Yeah.
That's, unwashed from last season.
That is, and
then hopefully Ra can find me a big Karen Reid size Counties jersey.
A massive Karen Reid size Counties jersey.
Yeah.
We'll see if we can get you some retro.
Bring your retro jersey in.
Actually, my old man's got my retro jersey.
No, it doesn't really. Actually, don't worry about it. We're going to win.
You're going to win.
No pressure.
Thanks, mate.
No pressure.
Yeah. Thanks, mate. A jersey that I don't want to wear in the world is probably the North Harbour.
What's wrong with us, mate?
Oh, I just.
Walk through, mate. What's your hatred with us, mate?
I've got bad memories from being a kid.
No. give us a
In the early 90s, there was a lot of Counties losing to Harbour.
Yeah.
And I had some friends who were Harbour supporters, and it just, it used to irk me.
I'll tell you the truth, it's going to be that much better, mate. When we beat you on the weekend, you've got to wear that jersey and headgear.
Mate, the headgear is...
When you win Dwayne Monkley, just when you do the interview, make sure you acknowledge that Ross has got a
full kit. Are you commentating us on the weekend?
No, I'm not, sorry. I've got Auckland again.
They don't.
Who think they've got Tasman, eh?
No, Auckland Northland.
Auckland Northland. Who do Canterbury have?
Canterbury have got Tasman.
And then they've got Auckland to finish.
Auckland to finish.
That's a big close for them. Finish. That's a relegation for them.
Well, it's very tight. There's a few teams that could get relegated. Yep. You know, just need to focus. Just need to focus.
But look, how good is it though? How good is it, you know?
Yeah.
Around the competition, around both sides, around how tight it is, you know, you look at...
I think it's justifying the two divisions as well.
Yeah.
It is.
I honestly do. I think, like, I used to like the idea of getting back to 14, but I think it spices it up, that promotion relegation and the fear of going down and the joy of going up and... it's really, really humming the Mitre 10 Cup this year.
Yep. It is. It is. I will enjoy Canterbury going down. I will really enjoy
that. I will as well, personally.
Yeah, well, we all know I will. But, yeah, I'm just focused on my team, supporting them to stay up, potentially a finals run, you know?
Yeah.
Take it all, win this week, and then take it all against the Bay following.
It's going to be tough this week, but you could certainly beat the Bay the week after.
Well though. From where we've come from, losing to Southland, you boys have done exceptionally well to fight your way back. Led by the two Bruns too, and a great scrum.
Yeah, outrageous.
We actually play, mate. We play Northern Hemisphere Rugby in North Harbour. Teams will preview us. We've got that much of a dominant scrum at the moment. Jeez. Sione Mafalia's having a hell of a year, man. Just around. Nick Mayhew was obviously injured on the weekend, but our boys are, giving them a wee pat on the back, boys. Keep it going, please.
If you'd just like to get the kicking game wrong, get it to Nanai Satoru as much as you
can. No, I'll tell you what,
with a really average kick chase.
No.
I think in the stats, and I don't know it exactly, but he's like, meters run, he's 589, and then second is like 380.
Why would you, it'd be interesting why they didn't start him on the weekend.
Yeah.
Interesting. Do you know, Ross?
I have no idea. I watched the start of the game. I hadn't seen the team before they went out in the field. And I watched it. I was like, where the hell is he? Like, what's going on? Because he's looked so classy.
Yeah, well, normally a player that of that talent, if they're missing, they've probably done something a little bit more.
Didn't get on the bus in time.
Yeah.
Made sure the skip had to miss the bus ride, maybe.
You can read
it. I didn't make the team that week either.
Read it in the tone, mate.
Yeah. But I would like to talk about Canterbury for a second. What's going on? Do you guys know what's going on there?
Seems
so strange.
They've got a young type five, you know, like they've got a lot of men that have sort of sat behind guys that have made All Blacks, but, you know, like I use the Hawke's Bay game as the prime example. They brought on a fresh young front row, couple of locks, and Hawke's Bay went scrum, penalty, corner, collapse more, penalty, corner again. So they just don't have the basis of what they're used to playing off, and that's set piece, that's dominance at the breakdown, and that speed of ball. And even the backs that are in the team that are Crusaders, they're used to, you know, not that back football. So it's just it's like all teams have to go through it. Like you can't, you know, even the great Canterbury can't just keep producing. Like I'm sure these young men will be great Cantab type five members in time, but you know, there's no surprise. I say it all the time. Numbers 1 to 8 will win you footy. Numbers 1 to 5 will really win you footy. And when that's not humming as well as they'd like, then it does make you struggle.
I think a big injury for them as well. I think Braden Ennell not being there as well around that midfield. I think he might have been selecting the All Blacks, but for the last couple of years, having him in that back line with, you know, the likes of Drummo, and then, you know, Manasa Matiel is another big loss for them as well.
George Bridge played a lot of...
And George Bridge as well. You know, and again, it comes back to that cattle, you know, and saying, you know, those boys that are in there now, young men, you know, where they've been in and around our environment, but again, it just takes time. And unfortunately, at the moment, you know, it's just those that inexperience around, and you're talking around traditional Canterbury teams, you know, the tight five and the eight winning those games. And if you talk around the tempo that they always play at, you know, that's where they play it, because those boys are winning those moments. You know, I don't think I've ever really seen, you know, a Canterbury line out be so dysfunctional this year.
And 5 metres out from the line going for a traditional Canterbury driving maul against Otago and they throw a knot straight.
Correct.
It's just so un-Canterbury-like. Yeah. So it's just a growth period, and they've got one of the best guys in there, I believe, to keep them positive and keep them focused on potentially staying up, and that's Luke Romano.
Correct.
Yeah.
Like, his experience and what he's delivering actions-wise is a follow me. He's performing, but he's got to bring, you know, another seven men with him, and he'll be the best thing for them because he knows lineouts and he knows, you know, scrums and breakdowns like the back of his hand. He's a great guy off the field, so they'll be better for it. And even if they do go down, they'll be back up in no time, and then we'll be talking about this year and how, you know, that was the start of Canterbury going back on another run, no doubt.
Yeah, we give Reuben Thorne some time. We give him a couple of years to get this around.
Oh, yeah, I don't think... Canterbury aren't a union that will panic.
Yeah.
They haven't had this much success. It's not their nature to panic and throw people under the bus. They'll work through a process, as everyone always says, but I think they'll be smart enough to understand that the cattle's a lot different to what they're used to having.
There's a lot of footy to go as well. They're a proud region. I know a lot of those guys, our boys down there as well, the Perth Crusaders, they'll be hungry as well. So,
you know, it's not over yet. I keep saying that because I don't want to crow and get caught falling short with my own union. So we're only 1 point ahead, although it might be more of a reality for a Harbour, it means just as much to us to stay up as well.
Yeah, and to be honest, we're not even, again, with how this competition is, any team can beat anybody. So we just know the counties, even though we obviously laugh around a little bit, you know, we know how they're coming for a great win on the weekend. So you can't take anything for granted. And, you know, for us, we know it's going to be a tough encounter. And again, we're just trying to prep as best as we can because, you know, we have a bit of form at the moment, but, you know, you're only as good as your last game. And again, it's coming forward to this next week against counties. This week, sorry.
On that note, do you want to just reach back into that locker there and grab that jersey?
Tell you what, mate.
I just want to see what the colours are.
There you go, mate. Oh, just right. Close it there, right, mate? Yeah. Just close it there.
The colours would be great with your complexion, both of you.
Very similar colours.
Yeah. Well, tune in next week, guys, to the Aotearoa Rugby Pod, and you'll see these two guys wearing the beautiful red, black and white hoops. That's the show.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.